to be safe.
You got to be safe.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
It's now time for Connecting Caregivers with author, speaker, caregiver advocate, and talk show host, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for caregivers.
All the caregivers around the world today, it's time to lift you up. It's time to celebrate. Good afternoon and welcome to Connecting Caregivers with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers with love, laughter, and lessons learned. On the show where you can find help and hope, because we got a lot of that stuff, right, Lynn?
We do. You do, anyway.
And with me, as always, is my best friend, my co-host, and my sidekick, not psychic, Lynn Thornley.
Good afternoon.
Nice. How are you today?
I'm doing well. I had a very exciting thing this week.
Tell me.
A friend of mine went to the Pirates Museum. In St. Pete.
No, in Seminole.
Oh, in Seminole.
Yes.
Tell them, because I know you wouldn't have been. It's so exciting.
It was kind of weird. So a friend of mine and I, we went out to dinner the other night, and then there was a presentation at the Seminole Historical Society, this guy that wrote a book about pirates. I thought, well, that might be kind of interesting to go there. And I'm active in my community in Seminole. I've never been to the historical museum thing, so we decided to go. And we go in, and I'm looking at different things on the walls, interesting things, learning different stuff. And some people came in that I actually knew and chatted. And we're sitting down getting ready for the presentation. I'm talking to my friend, and all of a sudden I see out of the corner of my eye, I see this picture on the wall that looks like one of my pictures. I go, excuse me, and I get up, and it's one of my photographs. And they give me credit for it. And then on the other side of the thing is another one of my photographs.
Very cool.
And I'm like, oh,
isn't
my
that cool?
Goodness, like, I'm on the wall.
What'd you say, Ed?
Did you get the check at least?
No. But I was like, oh my goodness, like my photographs are in a museum.
Little did you know.
It was kind of like those little tiny things that happen in your life.
That's
just kind of
cool.
Like give you such thrill.
Absolutely.
That was very exciting. I'm very proud of you, my friend.
So I wanted to take a picture of them, but I didn't. So I'm going to go back another day and do it.
You got to take a selfie.
Yeah.
Take your picture.
I'll
your
go
picture.
With you. I'll take a picture
there you
of
go.
You.
So yeah, that was fun.
That's very exciting.
I think it was exciting.
I understand your friend was not too impressed.
No, he's used to my picture. You know, so the whole thing with my pictures started 8 years ago now.
Oh my goodness!
And I had my grandchildren were living with me, and I was waking up every morning crabby because I didn't understand Common Core math or Xbox, and they couldn't find their sneakers. They didn't want to go to school, and I'm waking up mad. So at the time I had a dog, and I would go out in the morning. I live across the street from Lake Seminole, and we would go out in the dock, and I say my prayers. And then I take a picture of a duck or a flower or the sunrise or whatever, and I post it to Facebook and say, good morning, Seminole. And everybody expects that from me. And then I email it to Lynn, and my stepmother lives in New York City. So she has 1 hour to get back to me. And every morning she sends me back a message, and she goes, man, a watercolor. So I get kissed by my stepmother every morning.
Aww.
And I separately text it to my brothers and sisters, so it's fun.
And I just say, good morning, Lenny.
Yes, that's what she says every morning. Good morning, Lenny.
And it comes right up on the iPad. I just have to go boop, boop, boop.
Oh, yeah. But it's kind of like a fun check-in.
Sure.
And I wake up every morning looking for something beautiful, and I find it in 10 minutes or less. And now, since I've been doing this for so long, when I'm like driving around the road, I see a flower. I just have my car.
Yeah.
My grandchildren are like, Grandma. I said, you'll appreciate it later.
Yeah. Start your day with an attitude of gratitude, that's for sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that voice that you hear right now is my friend Susan Talbot. So glad that you're here today.
Thank you, me too.
So tell us a little bit about your background, and let's get to the meat of what we want to talk about today.
So almost 60 years ago, I've been a social worker in Pinellas County for greater than 35 years, mostly working with elders and in medical care, hospital work, nursing homes, that kind of stuff. And right now, I'm working for Epic, which is a member of Empath Health.
Mm-hmm.
And the branch of Epic under the Empath umbrella serves people living with HIV and AIDS. To tell you kind of how I got here, a couple of years ago, Epic was approached by a grassroots group of mostly men and women who were looking to start services for our LGBTQ elders. Chris Ombig, who was kind of one of the founding mothers of SAGE, was a member of this group. She and her wife had just relocated here. And so it just made sense for Epic that if we were treating all of these other people, why not take care of the elders? And so Epic Generations was born, and that's kind of how I got here.
That's kind of exciting.
I have had the opportunity to just design and develop programming, and it's been an amazing couple of years. So
yeah, it just gives
I'm so
me
happy
goosebumps.
To be here.
It's so exciting. So what is cultural competence?
So cultural competence is really kind of it came about because as an industry, healthcare for the most part is not ready to welcome our aging LGBT elders into the community. So really what we've
done. What makes them different?
Well,
aren't we all just old human beings?
So when I ask people, lots of times the first answer I get is, we don't have any gay people. We don't have any gay people here. And I'm like, you have 120 nursing home beds. Trust me, we're there. You
know? Yeah. Yeah.
Trust me, you
especially
do.
Especially this generation.
Right. So it's really just. It's kind of revamping, reframing the conversation to help provide person-focused care so that you're taking care of the person sitting in front of you. You don't have just a generic care plan that everybody goes by.
So do you find communities that will not take someone because they're LGBTQ+?
So I'll tell you a story that was told to me by a colleague. They had a woman who had just had a knee replaced. And so she needed to go do a little bit of rehab mm-hmm. at one of the skilled nursing facilities because, you know, you can't go to acute rehab for that anymore. And this woman she's a trans woman. And so she's alert and oriented. She lives alone. She has a good support system. She had a beautiful discharge plan. She had insurance. She just needed some inpatient rehab for a little while. She'd go to five. She was on five do not admit lists before a facility took her.
That's horrible.
They have a list? Oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
It's like a no-fly list type of
exactly. She was turned down by so many facilities until somebody said okay. And so
why?
Grateful. Because she's a trans woman.
Because she told the truth about who she is.
So,
you know.
And then they placed her in a room, and I don't fault the facility for this, but they placed her in a room with a woman with dementia. So now she's sitting here, alert and oriented, young, viable. She just wanted to get back on the golf course.
Right.
And she has nobody to talk to, no social stimulation, because they didn't know what to do with her.
And they put her with someone with dementia.
What to do with her? Just treat her like everybody else. What to do with her?
Or treat her like the woman that she is.
Right.
You know? I mean, like, really, let's just look at all she wants to do is get some rehab, find some exercises, and go home.
Right. So, I'm not here to convert anybody.
Exactly.
I'm not here to contage anybody.
Exactly. You know, and the sad part is, you know, 75% of our elders who were surveyed said that they feel like they have to go back into the closet if they have to go to independent living or to assisted or to skilled nursing.
Well, it's good that you're talking about it because it's like my closest friend when I was in New York was Jewish. And I was not aware how they were treated. Not allowed in a golf course, not allowed.
Yeah.
So it's good that you bring it out front because I wasn't aware that would go on.
Yeah. So, and then 60% of people are concerned that they're going to experience harassment. And it's not just from the staff. It's from the staff and it's from the other residents. I mean, if you look at it, we've all known that person whose filter's gone, right?
Right.
And then, you know, all of a sudden Aunt Annie's, you know, swearing like a sailor. And, you know, you kind of just, oh, wow, you didn't expect that. Well, you know, this is a generation of men and women who could have lost their job if they found out they were gay. You know, who probably...
Maybe the church wouldn't want to let them in?
Exactly.
Maybe the Cub Scouts wouldn't want them to be there?
So, you know, you think about, you know, slurs and, you know, words that we don't use anymore. And
thank God.
And, you know, somebody who's 90 without a filter may not stop and think.
He's a fag.
Know. Look, there goes that fag.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just, we're just not ready. We're not ready as an industry.
But we're working on it.
But we're working on
it.
And
that's what's the most important thing.
So that's kind of one of the things that I have just found so much joy in doing is just this education.
Yeah.
You know, and not so much for elders, but one of the things I'm in the middle of right now is doing an educational series for a group of OBGYN residents out of USF and HCA on gender-affirming care.
That's perfect.
And just, you know, getting ready, because one of the things I found in some recent research, if you look at our elders that are from the Gen Silent, and you look at now the new kids that are born in 1997 and later, those are called Gen Z.
Yeah.
Okay, so in our Gen Silent, 0.8% of people identify as being LGBT. In the Gen Zers, and they're not even all of age yet, they're up to 21% already. So we just as a community and as healthcare providers and healthcare, we need to be ready. And I think part of the issue is that this generation of elders has always been so distrustful of mainstream institution.
Yeah.
Because of the stigma and the discrimination.
Because they've seen it. And they probably, a lot of them personally were hurt by it.
Absolutely. They lived it, you know. I knew this great gal, her name was Dorothy, and she lived her authentic life, you know, every single day, except when she had to go to the VA because she was a retired Marine, and a Marine Corps veteran.
Oh, goodness.
And so on that day, every time she had to go to the VA for any kind of health care, she kept a brown bag in the back of the closet that had Dave's clothes in it, and she pulled it out and dressed as Dave, just to go. Can you imagine the dysphoria?
Yeah.
You know, can you imagine? I just
how you would feel. It just.
I know.
So let's talk about a little bit about advanced directives and why that's so important.
Oh, so, you know, being a good social worker, this is kind of my soapbox. I have to address it whenever I can. Advanced directives are important for all of us, but in the LGBTQ community, for some of our elders, let's say you've been together 35, 36 years, and you choose not to get married, like your friends, and you're together. If you don't have in writing who you want your person to be, then we're kind of can't save you from your family.
Right.
You know? So.
Or the government.
Exactly. So if you look at. I'll tell you a story. About 3 weeks ago, we had a gentleman call into the office and say his partner of 20 plus years was being rushed to the hospital. He had it doesn't matter what he had. But anyway, he got to ICU. He made it to the hospital and got to ICU. So his partner is standing there, you know, and they're like, well, we have to find out what we're going to do about a code status. He said, I can tell you he doesn't want to be a code. And he said, who are you? I said, I'm his partner of however many years. And he said, well, are you married? No. Well, then we need to find next of kin. He said, I'm standing here in front of you telling you I know that this is what he wants. Right. Well, does he have a living will? Are you his healthcare surrogate? No, we haven't gotten around to that. He's only 50-something years old. We didn't expect this. And so then they said, okay, well, then does he have any children? Well, no. Well, then we have to find his parents. And this guy turned around to them and said, he was thrown out of his house at 18 years old. He hasn't talked to his mother in 30
years. Right, they don't even know what he wants.
We don't know
where
he is. You're not going to ask a complete stranger to make end-of-life decisions for the man that I love.
For my partner.
Exactly.
Did they finally let him?
Well, by the grace of God, I'm hoping that the hospital staff was generous and merciful.
There you go.
They didn't happen to get there on time, but so he was able to pass. But, you know, it's just stuff like that. There was a story, a friend of mine who is a funeral director tells the story about not having your prearrangements done. And there was a woman, and she and her partner, who's a gentleman, lived together for, I don't know, 40-some-odd years. Yeah. She had transitioned maybe 20 years earlier or so. They never got married. They had nothing in writing. Family comes in and says, well, not only will we not cremate you, but we're going to bury you, and we're going to bury him as a man in a suit because that's the way he was born. Yes. I mean, it's just stuff you don't think about.
Well, and you know
well,
what?
Everybody has to think about events. Correct?
Everybody has to think about it. It's just that...
And you need to think about it when you're young.
Absolutely.
You need to think about this stuff because you can always change it or whatever. But,
absolutely.
You know, like when my granddaughter went to Germany, she got married in 2020, the day before the shutdown. We had to get power of attorney. We had to get papers in order.
Sure.
Because if something happens to her and she's there, nobody will talk to us or whatever. And people don't think of getting those kind of papers for somebody that's 20 years old.
Right. Right.
But I think we all need to do that. And you can change them later if your mind changes. If, you know, I'm sure now a young person's healthy is like, don't do anything to me. I'm going to, like, you know.
Well, you know,
then you get
funny.
A little bit older and you go, I don't want that done to me.
Well, and you know, and then in the LGBTQ community, if we go back to your chosen families, right? So let's say, we talked a little bit about this. So let's say a lot of the young men who came out to their families at 18 or 20, they just got tossed out of the house. This generation of men, right? And so what they did was, and that's why I love our LGBT elders, they're just so incredibly creative, is they formed chosen families. The tough part about that is now you've got 75-year-olds taking care of 75-year-olds, and there's no younger caregivers to come in, and so everybody's tired. But the other piece of that with advanced directives is, if you're my chosen family, but we're not blood, but we've lived together for 60 years, and you know me better than anybody, I want you to make my decisions.
Right.
Well, this is just a friend. Well, it's not just a friend.
No.
This is my sister. This is my, you know, whatever. So it's just really, really important that our LGBT elders and their caregivers know that they need to.
And you know what? It's not expensive to do these documents either. A lot of times people don't do documents. Oh, it's going to cost me $1,000. No, it's not going to.
No, you can go to an elder law attorney, which is, I think everybody should, because then you don't have to worry about it. But, you know, I mean, if in worst case scenario, you can get stuff online. You can get forms online.
Yeah. Yeah, so you just need to do that.
Everybody just needs to do that. I just had that conversation with my daughter and my son-in-law. They're expecting their first child. I go, you know, you need to get all this stuff in order now.
Absolutely, when there's a little one.
My daughter and grandchildren know all about it, believe me.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
When my grandson's 18, when his friends come in the house, I go, take out your phone, subscribe to my YouTube channel, and start watching some of this stuff, because you're going to be taking care of us.
Exactly.
And they need to know and not be afraid.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's just we're aging and we just have to do it the right way.
And do it well.
Yeah. And we're living longer, so.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So choose your friends wisely. Younger would be better.
Yeah. Well, and then you look at this generation of elders as well. You know, either they got married as young men and women and did the right thing, you know, and then had kids and came out later in life and then may or may not be close to their families, many times estranged, or they just never had children. You know, this is not the new generation of LGBTQ families, you know.
Exactly.
And so they don't have a lot of support. You know, they don't have a lot of people to look after them as they age. So.
Yeah, and like I say, sometimes even their churches turn them away.
Absolutely.
And different stuff. That's very sad. So what can we do to serve the community better for our LGBTQ people plus?
Well, I think, you know, we just need to really look at people, educate ourselves. You know, spend some time in the community. Go to a pride event. You know, I always say, you know, be careful who you hate, because it might turn out to be somebody that you love. But just really get to know them. You know, really let's make our businesses, our healthcare facilities more open and affirming. Let's educate our staff so that let's have those tough conversations.
So, do you see communities doing this? Certain communities? Do you see people starting to make a break?
We have one community that uses open and affirming messages in their collateral, and that's Watermark community. But I haven't seen anybody else. And I think that it's just important that if we're working with our LGBT elders, that we are having the conversation like, we want to move into your community. Do you think we'll be welcome here?
Right.
I mean, it just, we have to have conversations.
Right.
You know, we don't just fit in the boxes anymore of married, widowed, single, divorced.
Right.
You know, so we just need to look a little farther and just really educate our staff and just understand that we're out here And everybody needs to be, you know, taking your, putting your rose-colored glasses on isn't going to make it any different.
No.
You know, they say that by 2030, there should be roughly 7 million LGBT people who identify as part of the LGBT community over the age of 55.
Wow.
Okay, so nobody's getting any younger.
No.
Right?
No. And if somebody has a lot of money and they want to invest in a place and just open it up.
And you know what? It's funny because most of the caregiver, most of my folks that I've talked to said they really don't want their own place. Okay. They really just want to be
just how
accepted.
They are now, but just be able to age well.
And make new friends and go play pickleball and go to the bingo on Monday night and not have people whispering and all that stuff. They just want to be people. Just want to be recognized.
Yeah. Yeah, because like I said, we're all human beings.
Don't want to be invisible.
Yeah. And you know what? When you get down to the bottom line, what do we want? We want our health.
Mm-hmm.
We want our family. We want to be loved. We want a roof over our head.
Yeah.
We may have different hobbies, ideas, or interests, but basically we're exactly the same. And when you realize that, you get to meet so many cool people.
You know, really, I think the world today, just as an overall, if we would stop and realize how much alike we are.
Yeah.
As opposed to how different we are.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Can you imagine what a happy, shiny place we'd be? I mean, I know that sounds kind of silly, but.
No, but
we are. You know, we really, everybody's human needs are human needs.
So where can our listeners find you?
So I am... I can be found at Epic, which is, again, part of Empath Health. Our office is down on 31st Street and 1st Avenue South in St. Pete. But my telephone number is 727-328-5524. That's right at the desk. And or, you know, I'm available at Susan Talbot, and it's all one word. Talbot has two T's on the end. At empathhealth.org. So
fabulous. And I'll put all that information in the description of the show for anybody that watches after
this.
And it'll be all good.
And even if, you know, I mean, everybody knows somebody.
Yeah.
I just, the only other thing I wanted to tell you about was our friendly caller program.
Please do.
Which is a program we designed where we match our participants with a volunteer. And they do casual conversation a couple times a week.
That's
and
fabulous.
The idea behind it is to... combat social isolation and loneliness. We've had people that were with us for two or three phone calls. We've had people that have been with us for almost 2 years. So it's really neat. You know, again, somebody knows somebody. So even if it's not right for you, and I speak directly to your caregivers to say, maybe you're the person who identifies as the LGBT community, but but the caregivers are lonely too.
Right.
Just, you know, if your person goes down for a nap and you've got 10 minutes to make a phone call and get connected to the outside world, gosh, do that, you know?
Yeah.
So...
You know, I do support groups online, and one of the women that comes to my support groups for a long time, her husband passed away probably about a year ago now, Jack. She's coming down to Florida.
Oh,
so
nice.
So a whole bunch of us are getting together from the Zoom group. And it's fabulous.
Absolutely.
And what we've done now that I've got this idea from somebody else is, so probably my support groups now, half of them, their loved one has passed away, but they keep coming back because they've been with me 2, 3, 4, 5 years, whatever.
Sure.
So now we're mentoring. So if your husband passed away and he had Parkinson's, and someone new comes into the group and their husband has Parkinson's.
Absolutely.
And I'm like,
Perfect. Perfect. Yes, absolutely. It really is. Just supporting one another.
But right now it's time to hear from our wonderful partners, because you know the deal. If we don't hear from them, you don't hear from me.
That's right.
So don't go away.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you looking for compassionate and dependable home care for you or a loved one? Assisting Hands Home Care, serving Pinellas and Pasco counties, can help.
The day came that taking care of my mother was no longer the best thing for me or for her. Between kids and a job, I couldn't give her the attention she needed and deserved, and I was overwhelmed. So I reached out to Assisting Hands Home Care. Now I can see what an important decision that was, and I feel confident that my mother has compassionate and dependable caregivers who help her to stay happy, healthy, and home. Today, I'm able to visit with my mother and enjoy our time together, which is exactly what we both needed.
Assisting Hands Home Care. Call today for your free in-home consultation. In Pinellas, call 727-748-4211 or visit assistinghands.com. When you can't do it all, give Assisting Hands a call.
Arden Courts is not just a place to live. It's a place to call home. residential living combined with quality caregiving. This is the philosophy behind Arden Courts, communities created exclusively for individuals with Alzheimer's disease and related dementia who would benefit from a safe and structured environment. For additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides, call 888-478-2410 to locate a community nearest you. Inquire about our educational seminars, resource library, or support groups, or simply feel free to ask questions you may have about Alzheimer's and related dementias. At Arden Courts, we know, we understand, and we can help because memory care is all we do. Remember, call 888-478-2410 for additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides.
Sean W. Scott has been practicing elder law and qualifying clients for Medicaid for over 30 years. While his practice is in all areas of estate planning, such as durable power of attorney, healthcare surrogates, and wills, he also prides himself on having a 100% accuracy rate on getting clients approved for Medicaid. Why Medicaid, you may ask? Do you want to pay up to $16,000 a month for a nursing home should the time come? Obviously, no one wants to have to endure this cost. So, even though you may have planned well for retirement, the reality is, things happen. Planning ahead is never too soon. You need to make sure your income and assets are protected so that you can take care of you and your loved ones. Florida law is very specific on how and what is protected and how to protect it. Give Sean a call. He can help. 727-539-0181. That's 727-539-0181.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
It has Welcome back, everybody. And, you know, I realized at the beginning of the show I did not say hello to our newest listeners.
Uh-oh.
Because we were just yakking. Yes.
You're fired.
So I want to welcome Judy from Pinellas Park and Shanna from St. Pete and Victoria from Montreal.
Oh, welcome, lady.
Like I always say, there's always plenty of room around the Connecting Caregivers table for new listeners, whether you listen to the show live or on YouTube or Facebook or the recordings or whatever. We're just here to help in any way we can. If you have any questions about anything, you can call into the show at 727-441-3000, or you can call me on my cell at 727-365-8383. I promise you, if I don't have the answer, I know somebody who does. And that's one of the blessed parts about being in this Tampa Bay community.
100%.
That we have professionals that want to work together, that want to make a difference.
Yeah.
So it's very exciting. And I'm excited because Teresa Wilbanks is going to be calling in a little while.
Yippee.
And Teresa Wilbanks is part of our new conference in May.
And she was the star on the last one.
She got the most kudos at the first conference.
Very cool.
And it's very funny how, I don't know, how many years ago did we meet Teresa?
Before COVID, that's how we do it now. BC or AC, yeah.
And we were out and about. It was like a Christmas function.
It was a Christmas
like
party.
And she came up to me and she said, "I'm your stalker. I've been following you and Lynn." And she was taking care of her dad. And so she went through that journey. And now she's written a book, Navigating the Caregiver River, A Journey to Sustainable Caregiving. So she'll be calling in a minute. She used to live in Florida, but now she's a nomad. She gets to travel everywhere, which is really cool. I'll have to hook up with her. So yeah, I made a deal with myself 8-9 months ago that I'm going away once a month for the rest of my life.
Perfect.
Because I'm 68. My knees are starting to hurt. What am I waiting for?
Yep.
So I've been to Germany, Prague, New York City, Maine, Pennsylvania, Texas. And now I go back for Mother's Day. I go to New York City to see my stepmother, and we get to go to Radio City and see Frankie Valli.
Nice.
So I can't wait.
Nice.
Do we have Teresa on the line?
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Hi there.
Hi, honey. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Fabulous. It's so wonderful to hear from you, as always.
Yes.
So great to hear your voice as well.
Yeah. So I was just saying before you called in that you were part of our first conference, and you're part of our next conference coming up. And in our first conference, you got more kudos than anybody.
Oh, my gosh. It was such an amazing experience and so great to interact with all of us family caregivers. It was really empowering because I was there for every day. So I was also, in addition to being a participant, you know, someone who was presenting, I was a participant, and
yeah.
I just I learned so much. It was fantastic.
Yeah, we have a lot to learn. It makes me very happy. So at the new conference, you're going to be talking about reimagining control. So what does that look like?
You know, in caregiving, everything feels so out of control. And I think that's why we crave control. At least I did. And the reality I found was that the tighter I held on to outcomes, the more control I relinquished. It can be counterintuitive, you know, but going with the flow and letting go is actually, that's, you know, that returned control. And
it feels much nicer.
It does feel nicer. Once you can step into that flow, it does feel right. You know, you don't realize that you're kind of paddling against the current and, you know, meeting with all this resistance, and you don't really understand why. And the interesting thing, I was under the illusion that I didn't want to control anyone else. I just wanted control over my situation. But I realized that my version of control, that would require having control over dad's decisions and a lot of the systems and processes surrounding his care. And that wasn't realistic. So, you know, when I stepped into the flow and said okay to whatever came our way, it kind of reduced stress because I was no longer battling for control.
Yeah, or expectations.
Exactly, yes, expectations. Like all of that, accepting it, and then, you know, once we're paddling with the current, we can navigate all those obstacles and, you know, the swift water and all of that with more momentum and with ease. So that's how I use it, you know, the analogy in the book. But
well, you have one chapter in the book about transforming caregiving obstacles to work to our advantage.
Yes.
So how can we do that?
Well, first, you know, obstacles, you know, well, obstacles are everywhere in caregiving. So, you know, the systems, our friends and family can present obstacles. Even our care recipient can feel like an obstacle. So overcoming obstacles is empowering, but I found that transforming them is next level.
Mm-hmm.
And we resist leaning into them because obstacles make us emotional. The emotion clouds our thinking. And, at that point, we don't have a clear view of that obstacle.
Right.
So leaning into the obstacle, which is, you know, how we can transform the obstacle, is sort of like leaning into our reality. And it can help us flip the obstacle so it works for us rather than against us. My mantra is, let's flip the flipping obstacles.
There you go.
You know, the way to do that is to say, how can I use the situation to my advantage and to work to our advantage?
But sometimes you just have to stop and take the time to think about it.
Exactly. And when you do that, you're looking at it with through a different lens.
Yeah.
You're able to just, like you say, calm your mind. And then you're able to kind of see it from different perspectives under a microscope, from all angles.
Yeah.
And often then we can say, hey, here's the gift that if we can solve this and move forward, that's how we're going to transform the obstacle, and we're no longer overwhelmed, but we're empowered.
Yeah, you know what? I love the caregivers that listen to this show, the caregivers that come to the conferences, that come to live, because those are the caregivers that care. Those are the ones that are looking at it and want to see a difference and make a difference. And it's just so very important.
Because you're right, we can get so overwhelmed.
Yep. And sad.
We don't even know what we need to do, much less. What's that?
And we're sad. And we're just trudging through day by day by day, thinking there's no other way.
Absolutely. It does feel like that. And that is why I wrote the book, because I was actually helping caregivers with resources, but I was still struggling so much with the emotions. And I thought, I have to solve this for myself, so that I can help other family caregivers, because this isn't sustainable, all these emotions, sadness, and frustration.
No, it's not good for anybody. Yeah. So you talk about the slippery slope and burnout. You know, I'm always talking about burnout.
Yes, you are. And I do want to say, you know, speaking of just struggling to find resources and help, your book was an amazing help while I was caring for Dad. And I think I've said before, like, I highlighted the heck out of it. I dog-eared the pages, and it just helped so much. And it helped me realize that there was help out there, that I wasn't alone. So the slippery slope, you know, first we need to recognize when we're headed toward burnout. And I think some of those signs are that we're more easily irritated, or that we're getting more easily overwhelmed.
We're crying a lot.
To be for compassion. Yes.
Or, you know what happens when somebody comes into a support group and they go, I came here today because I yelled at my mother.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we feel so much guilt about these things, or we just feel guilt for the thoughts that we have.
Oh, yeah.
Which add to all of the overwhelm. Yeah, and it can happen without realizing it. We're just starting to help out with errands or tasks and give up the activities that kind of rejuvenate us, that we look forward to. And as soon as we start giving those activities up, that's why it's a slippery slope, you know, from helping out to burning out.
Yeah.
And if we think of caregiver burnout like on a spectrum, we can imagine, you know, where are we on that spectrum? And if we're sliding toward the flames, how can we start to back away? By microdosing self-care.
Well, and then we get to the whole conversation about accepting help and asking for help. Mm-hmm. You know, a woman said to me a while back, she said, so my daughter has off the day of your show. So my daughter is coming over to my house to spend time with my husband. She goes, so I go to Walsingham Park, and I put the earbuds on, and I listen to the radio show, and I walk through the park, and I get exercise, and I get to be out in nature.
Beautiful.
I'm like, excellent.
That's beautiful. Like a triple win.
Yeah, and she's like, I just look forward to that so much each week. And now she's starting to incorporate other things for herself and to do. And you know, Lynn and I always talk about this. You know, sometimes we think we're the bomb caregiver, and only we can do it.
I was the best.
Yeah, you were the bomb. Me too. But, you know, sometimes your loved one is sitting there, and underneath their breath is like, could you please go away for a while?
But you think
come
you're
back
doing
and be nice
it.
To me. And as you're gritting your teeth, go, I thought I was being really nice.
Yeah.
Wait till I get back.
Oh, and we found the right match for for my dad, the aide who came in to help. He started to prefer her care to mine, and I was getting jealous.
I
needed the help, and finally we found it, and I'm like, well, wait a minute.
This is what I asked for.
That's a funny feeling, isn't it? When
it
you
is.
Start
it's
to great. Feel a little, I'm not needed anymore.
So, like you're saying, self-care things, like it's like one more thing on your list. So I find, like, many times somebody asks the caregivers, anything I can do to help you? And the caregiver's thinking, I can't even think straight. And now you gave me something else to think about.
Exactly.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
And then we feel like, if we had, I mean, I would write things down like, well, you know, wash my hair. Like, really, seriously, take a shower. But that, at one point, was self-care.
Yeah.
And
if
I didn't write it down... And we have to know that prioritizing our well-being isn't selfish. It's crucial.
No. Well, I say to caregivers, and sometimes they don't like to hear it. I said, if you don't take care of yourself, you're doing an injustice to your loved one.
Yeah.
And that's the last thing they want to do.
You know, I read an interesting article one time on how to help the caregivers. And it was such a little thing. You know, we all go in and say, you know, how can I help? What can I do? But she said, the article said, change it to, what do you need?
Yeah.
It's such a simple little twist. What do you need? Because I could say, how can I help? And like you said, your mind goes a mile a minute.
What do you need? I need somebody to pick up some groceries for me.
Right. What do you need? I really need a half gallon of milk.
Yeah.
I can go do that for you. What else do you need?
I like that.
I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it. It was so simple.
Good advice.
Yeah, I love it. And the caregiver, advice for the caregiver is keep a list in your pocket so you can pull it out and show them and let them.
Beautiful.
Well, you know, there's that new app, Circle Of. It's Circle OF. Yeah. And so you go on there, and it's a free app, and you set up a little profile for your caregivers. Then you can set up your first circle, let's say it's your immediate family. So then mom's meds changed or whatever. You can go, like, post it on there, and you don't have to talk to everybody. Because at night, the last thing I want to do is call up the whole family and listen to my sister tell me what I'm not doing right.
Right.
But then you can set up a bigger circle with your family and friends, and the caregiver can just post, I could help with my lawn being mowed or my laundry. And then me as a friend, I can go on there and go, bang, I'll be there 2 o'clock on Tuesday to do your laundry.
Beautiful.
I love it.
Perfect.
Yeah, they're going to be part of the conference too.
Oh,
because
nice.
This way the caregiver doesn't really feel like I'm asking somebody. I'm just like posting that list or whatever.
Right.
And then me, I'm like, yes, I wanted to help you.
Right, right.
So
that's great.
Yeah, it's all really good stuff. So how better can we balance the care for ourselves while caring for the family members?
Well, a couple things that help are, you know, putting our self-care activities into routines and then setting boundaries around those routines. And that's, I know it sounds simple, and we know it's not, because especially when the caregiving, you know, challenges change every day.
Yeah.
So that, you know, if we learn how...
You just think you got it down one thing, and then something new comes up.
Exactly. So it's a really great idea to practice modifying those routines and adjusting the boundaries during the less stressful times. And then when a crisis happens, you know, we can kind of more easily do that. And an example is a hospitalization. So I can remember the first time Dad went in the hospital, all the things that I did that didn't support my well-being. And mm-hmm. when I learned to use some of these strategies and he went in, I had a cooler in the car with like waters and yogurt and healthy snacks. And I meditated in the parking lot. I was sitting there before I'd go in and I used that opportunity. I took my journal in and I was able to write during those down times. And then I tried to fit in some, you know, yoga poses and stretches before I went to bed because I wasn't able to do the things that I would normally do.
Yeah, I had a caregiver the other day who was actually at the doctor's office with her loved one, and she was on the Zoom support group on her phone.
Oh.
And I thought, good job,
good
because she
you.
Said, you know, I'm not missing it. It's good for me. And I was like, good job.
And then we stay stronger so we don't come out of this crisis completely wrecked.
Yeah. Yes. Because, you know, I always say, caregiving can be the most horrific experience of your life or can be close to beautiful depending on how you handle it.
Yeah. Yeah, so true.
So you have a giveaway for our listeners, I hear.
Yes. I'm very excited to share that you can go to sustainablecaregiving.com and at the top of the front page, you'll see how to receive the 12 Sustainable Caregiving Strategies PDF ebook. That's a mouthful.
Yeah.
But so it just covers, it's 50 pages and covers all the strategies that help, you know, just can help recover from burnout, help manage the emotions, reimagine control. And then from all the folks who receive that PDF ebook in the next 48 hours, I'll do a drawing and give away one of the books.
Hey,
nice.
Yeah,
we love that. And our caregivers love that kind of stuff. And so, you know, to have the opportunity to just download a PDF and get some information is so fabulous because you don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to do anything. And maybe just print it out. Maybe print it out and, like, take a walk to the park for a little while if you can. Or when your neighbor comes over and says, what do you need? You can say, I need 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Or whatever it is.
That's great.
And, you know, and the thing is, too, when I say this before and I'll continue to say it. You know, let people help you. You know, people wanted to help me with my mom, and I didn't let them in. I didn't know what to do. And, you know, one friend of mine said, you know, Linda, you stole my joy because you didn't let me help you when I saw you were suffering. She said, and plus, you didn't let me get to really meet your mom. Mm. So think about that. Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah, because people want to. And that changed a whole lot about me asking for help for myself after that, even with whatever.
You know, it's funny. Every once in a while, you'll hear that in kind of a different tone, which is, you know, let me bless you.
Yeah.
You know, don't steal my blessing.
Right.
You know, and we don't see it from that angle until you stop and take a breath. And,
Yeah. Well, thank you, my friend. Where can our listeners find you?
Oh, sustainablecaregiving.com is the best way to locate me. And you know, I'm on TikTok now, so also
are you?
Yes. And there's a lot of caregiving support there on TikTok. So I'm expecting to see you there soon, Linda.
Well, I wanted to do TikTok caregiving comedy. I've been thinking about that. Because we need a laugh. And, you know, caregivers do some pretty funny stuff.
That is true.
Perfect.
Plus, if our listeners want to hear you, they can tune into the conference on Wednesday, May 4th. You will be presenting at 10 a.m. And for all our listeners, go to ConnectingCaregiversConference.com to register. Even if you can't make it every day, just by registering within 2 weeks after the conference, you will be sent 21 videos of all the presenters for yourself to review and show your family and friends.
And it's free!
And it's free. It's free thanks to our wonderful nice. Partners and all the people participating. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, Linda. Good to see you.
Talk soon. Love you.
All right. Love you, too. Bye-bye. Bye.
She's fabulous. And just like our wonderful partners are, which we'll hear from right now. So don't go away. We'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers Radio.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Choosing the right chiropractor is an important choice to make. Located in Seminole, the Alexander Spine Center team is trained on the latest chiropractic treatments and technologies. At Alexander Spine Center, you'll find chiropractic and physical therapy care that is safe, effective, and a natural approach to pain and other health-related issues. Chiropractic unlocks your body's potential and natural healing process to ensure your life is a healthy life. We treat clients from the womb to the tomb. Call 727-397-3000 for a free consultation today or visit our website at www.alexanderspinecenter.com.
They take good care of me twice a week. And did you know they got the Reader's Choice Award for 2019 for the best chiropractic in Pinellas County? So check them out.
Arden Courts is not just a place to live. It's a place to call home. Residential living combined with quality caregiving. This is the philosophy behind Arden Courts. Communities created exclusively for individuals with Alzheimer's disease and related dementia who would benefit from a safe and structured environment. For additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides, call 888-478-2410 to locate a community nearest you. Inquire about our educational seminars, resource library or support groups, or simply feel free to ask questions you may have about Alzheimer's and related dementias. At Arden Courts, we know, we understand, and we can help because memory care is all we do. Remember, call 888-478-2410 for additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides.
Guaranteed to make you laugh through your tears, Linda Burhan's book, Good Night and God Bless, is filled with humor and heartfelt inspiration to aid anyone facing the challenge of caring for a loved one at the end of life. Her story offers hope for human strength and understanding of weaknesses during a difficult time. Life doesn't normally prepare us to become a loved one's caregiver. When it happens, it's usually sudden. A diagnosis of an illness, age-related frailty, dementia, and life suddenly is anything but normal. And because we don't even know what we don't know, where do we turn to for help or guidance? In Connecting Caregivers, answers to the questions you didn't know you needed to ask, Linda offers information, education, and inspiration from her own experience and from experts whose advice, practical tools, and personal stories will empower and guide you. Make sure to add these inspiring books to your collection today, available on Amazon.com.
Introducing the life-changing Footbar Walker.
I'm Peggy from Danville, Kentucky, and I'm 91 years old. The Footbar Walker revolutionized my care of George. It absolutely benefits the patient and the caregiver both, and that's the beauty of it. It's so easy to use. It folds up just like a dream. I got it in and out of the car without any effort at all. The saving that I made from having to put him in a nursing home came to about $192,000.
Does someone you love use a walker? Do they struggle? Struggle to get up from a seated position? Are you a caregiver dealing with physical pain and stress as you help your patient? The Footbar Walker was designed to assist not only the patient, but also the caregiver. Patients have more control standing up, and no lifting from the caregiver is required. See how it works at thefootbarwalker.com. That's thefootbarwalker.com. Peggy, would you recommend the Footbar Walker?
Do I ever? I would not be in the health that I'm in today at this age had it not been for the Footbar Walker.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
And here we are back, and I want to let you guys know that there's a seminar coming up with Dr. Tam Cummings on Thursday, April 7th, sponsored by Arden Courts. If you want, you can just email me or contact me through the website, lindaburhans.com, and I will send you the link to register for that. Also, good news, starting in May, we'll be doing a live support group again in Seminole, which I'm very happy to say. So I'll give you the details on that. Just to know, I am not stopping any of the online support groups, no matter what, because we have people from like all over the United States in our support groups, and we just love that. Also, I'll be booking, I'm starting to book some live presentations. I'll be presenting the dementia dance, when to lead and when to follow, because sometimes it's a jitterbug, sometimes it's a wall, so sometimes it's the monster mash. So just ways to deal. I'm really encouraging you to go to the website and sign up for the conference. We have Dr. Kate McCarty. We have Dr. David Bernstein and Melissa Bernstein, and it's absolutely fabulous. We have DeLon Canterbury. Now, DeLon Canterbury is a precision pharmacist. So years ago, he saw a doctor give his grandma some medicine for her Alzheimer's that was like a psychotropic drug and just about killed her. And so it inspired him to become a pharmacist. He said, so Linda, I'm a pharmacist and I'm working on the corner of happy and healthy, and nothing's happy and nothing's healthy. Mm. I feel like all these people like my grandma are coming in here. So he does genetic testing. You can do testing, which I did with him. And the report comes back and says what medications I should never, ever have in my life.
Interesting.
Isn't that fabulous?
Absolutely.
Because that's bad stuff.
Sure.
And it also says that I'm a rapid burner. So if I do need a medication, I might need double the dose of someone else needs for it to be effective on me. Well, that's interesting stuff. And now she gets the, my doctor has it all on her file. So good stuff that we're learning every day.
Beautiful, yeah.
So yeah, so his the name of his presentation at this conference is The World of Deprescribing, because we need to do that. Joel Quattlebaum, Officer Joel Quattlebaum.
Yay, that's our senior officer from Largo.
Yes. Oh!
He's absolutely fabulous, and Lynn has a crush on him. And we'll be talking about senior scams and stuff like that. Yeah, we got a lot of stuff going on. If you go to the website, you'll see a list of the agenda for each day. You'll see a bio on all the presenters of what they're doing. You'll see me on a video begging you to sign up. Also, this conference will be able to offer CEUs. So the last...
Continuing education units. I had to ask, so I'm just filling you in.
So that would be on Thursday at 3 o'clock. Dr. Karen Truman will be doing a one-hour Alzheimer's disease or related orders, related disorders training. So if you know anybody that needs some CEUs, please send them our way. And what will happen is they'll take the course, they'll take a test, they send me their email and $10 to PayPal, and they get their certificate. So I think that's pretty cool.
Beautiful.
So please do that. And like I said, if you can't come every day, you'll still be privy to all the recordings. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I know how precious your time is. I really appreciate you guys. Know that I'm here for anything I can help you with. Remember, God loves you all the time, and have a delicious day.
When you're down and troubled.